So let me tell you a story. This week, I went to visit someone in the hospital downtown. I was driving downtown, and on my way back, you know, and I'm not really used to driving downtown and all that stuff, but on my way back, I stopped at this stop sign and or stop light, and I thought, you know what, I'm just gonna stay on 10th and go all the way back to Midwest City on 10th, not do the highway or anything. Now, I say this out loud because I talk to myself when I'm by myself, you know, because I need expert advice is what they say, right? No, but I do. I talk to myself, so I hate it when I get caught talking to myself. Jill catches me talking to myself sometimes, and I say that I'm praying out loud. So I say this out loud, and as soon as I said, you know what, I think I'll just take 10th all the way back. It'll be easier. I heard an audible voice that said, wait. And I thought, it was so real to me that I thought someone was outside my car, and I looked around, and there's no one around. And my next thought was, it was so real that, I have accidentally dialed someone, and I hear their voice on my phone. I pick up my phone. I say, hello, hello. No one's there. That wasn't it. So I said, God, am I hearing voices, or are you trying to get something across to me? And then I hear it again. Wait. And then I realize that this country boy doesn't drive in the city very often, and they have these newfangled stoplights that talk to you and tell you when to go across and when to wait. I thought, yeah. So I thought, my first thought, of course I laughed, and I laugh at myself quite often too, out loud, but my first thought to God was, you know what? Sometimes that's how I feel when I'm, you know, when you're trying to get your message from God. God, what are you trying to say? You hear a voice deep in your spirit, and you're like, is that God? Did God say that? Is that just my emotions? You know, and so you begin to question. Is that just because I ate pizza, or is that because I've got a very strong and wild imagination, or is this you, God? It's a struggle for most Christians, or at least something that we strive to be better at, hearing from God. One of the things we're talking about today is hearing from God, but in a very real and genuine way that is usually not quite as mistaken as a voice in your head or in your spirit. And that's hearing from God from His Word. Hearing and pursuing God by His Word. There's various ways to hear or see from God, but today we're talking about hearing from His Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of Christ. So faith ultimately comes from the Word of Christ. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about the Bible. I discussed it, and we talked about the Bible facts, where we got the Bible that we have, why it's 66 books, the translations, the languages, the dates, and some things like that. Just some basic Bible facts. My goal then was to bring an awareness of the necessity for the Bible and how relevant and important it is still in our daily lives. Today, my goal is to give some helpful instruction on reading and understanding the Bible. Reading and understanding the Bible. In other words, we're not just reading the Bible to get our Bible reading time in. I've done that. You can do that. I'm not saying it's bad for you. I just want something more. I just don't want to get my Bible reading time in. I want it to serve a purpose. And we're not reading the Bible only in the light of preconceived ideas. And that's a big one for us, because that's everyone has preconceived ideas that sometimes we have to read around when we read the Bible. This often causes us to miss a simple point that normally would be understood if we just logically read the Bible with an open mind and a heart yearning to learn from it. So it's important to understand it, not just read it, but to understand it. Matthew 22:29, Jesus says to them, "You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God." Now, who is he talking to? Let's look at this. In Matthew 22, the Sadducees come up to Jesus, and they want to trick him with a question about this lady and her husband that died, married and brothers, who's she going to be a wife to when they get to heaven, and so on and so forth. So they're trying to trick him. So the Sadducees were men who were sad, you see. I had to do it. I can't help it. The Sadducees were very powerful, prominent leaders. You could say political leaders in the Jewish nation, but politics and religion was kind of hand in hand then. They did a lot of the Bible interpretation, the Bible, the Pentateuch, the laws, the Torah, into their laws. So they came to Jesus and tried to trick him. And Jesus says, "You're mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God." That's like saying to Mario Andretti, "You really don't know much about how to drive fast, do you?" That's like saying, and if you don't know who Mario Andretti is, that's like saying to Billy Sims, "You don't know much about football, do you? You're not understanding this whole concept." Okay. If you don't know Billy Sims, Mario Andretti, that's like saying to Gordon Ramsay, "You don't understand cooking much, right?" Everybody go, "Ah, I get it now." You get the point. I'm just joking. So the Sadducees were probably pretty offended and pretty shocked that Jesus would say, "You're not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God." But the truth was, they didn't. They knew the Bible. As a matter of fact, most of the first five books of the Old Testament, the Sadducees had memorized, believe it or not. Huge chunks of the Bible memorized. Even by the time they were 12 years old, they have had a certain amount of that memorized. And so they knew the Bible, but Jesus said, "You're not understanding it." They had centuries of knowing the Bible, but they didn't understand it. And it kind of sounds like, doesn't it to you, that perhaps they did not understand the power of God because they didn't understand the scriptures. You don't understand the scriptures nor the power of God. Maybe when we get a deeper understanding of scriptures, we'll also get a deeper understanding of the power of God in our lives. Matthew 15:10, Jesus said to them, "Hear and understand." Now, so here's some tips to help us understand the Bible. Five tips that I'm going to give you today: pray, ask, view, context, and application. Let's start with pray. Now, this is a pretty simple one. I loved it when I heard this college professor, and he said he was teaching the Bible, how to read the Bible, how to understand the Bible. College professor, and he says, step one, before you start reading the Bible, pray. Now, when you get into Bible reading and you're in the middle of it, pray. And then when you're done, pray. Before, during, and after. Now, it's important that we remember this step because we are actually conversing with the author of this book. No one can help you understand this book better than the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God." And that's we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, Paul invented this word for the Bible, I think, theopneustos, breathed by God. It's pneuma is the spirit, what they used to call the spirit of God, like a wind, a blow. Theopneustos was inspired by God into mankind to be written. So we go to him for correction, for reproof, to understand what the Bible says. Like so many spiritual disciplines we've looked at so far, understanding the Bible is going to be a heart issue as well. Remember the parable of the soil that Jesus taught in Matthew 13:19, when he has different examples of soil and how seeds interact with the different types of soil. And in this one, Matthew 13:19, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. The word of the kingdom was heard, but not understood. Why? Because of the condition of the heart. So we begin to understanding the Bible by prayer, because that prepares your heart. Prayer prepares you. Second thing, it's important to realize that you can ask questions about the Bible. Ask God. Some of you may have grown up in a culture or a society where it was disrespectful or maybe rude to ask questions of the Bible, like, are you questioning the good book? You know, things like that. And so it's important that we realize that it's okay to question. It's okay to have questions. My belief is that questions are very good and beneficial for spiritual growth and understanding the Bible. Did you know what? Many atheists have found God while questioning the Bible. People in this world are searching for the truth. They may not know it. Sometimes it doesn't look like it, but people are searching for the truth. Truth often lies beyond the questions. It's okay to question the Bible. As a matter of fact, it's healthy. For example, why does the Bible talk about unicorns? Let's face it. Let's ask the difficult questions. Are people shocked that there's unicorns in the Bible? 9 times in your King James Bible, there's a mention of unicorns. What are Christians doing believing in a book that talks about unicorns? That's what they say. It's okay to ask questions. I'm not asking in doubt. I'm asking questions. Numbers 23:22, God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Is anybody shocked? No, everybody knew that there were unicorns in the Bible. I've read through the Bible several times without realizing that unicorns, hey, no unicorns in the Bible. Yeah, sure enough. But see, the Hebrew word in the Old Testament that's used here is re'em, which means a wild bull or wild ox, as the NASB says it. And we actually have discovered bones of a large animal called a brontothorium. It's kind of like a hairy, long-legged rhinoceros. And some translations say rhinoceros. The reason that we have the word unicorn is because back in 1611, when they were translating the King James Version, they looked at this Hebrew word and they didn't quite understand how to incorporate it into the scriptures. Re'em is that word. And so what they did is they thought, well, let's look at the Septuagint, because the Septuagint was translated from Hebrew into Greek already. So what did the Septuagint people do? They translated it as monokinos, which means one horn. And they thought, ah, unicorn. Gotcha. That's how we have the word unicorn in the Bible. It's actually a real animal. Like I said, it's a lot like a rhinoceros. But it's okay to ask those questions. The original audience of that word, when they heard those scriptures, they would have understood exactly what that meant. But you know, this book was written by over 40 authors. It took over 1,500 years, three different continents. It's been miraculously preserved for hundreds of years. It's going to stand up to any questions that we may give it. Amen? So it's important to realize that we are not the original intended audience. The Bible was written for us, yes. The Bible was not written to us. Now, I don't want to offend anybody by that statement, but I want you to realize it's important to understand that the Bible couldn't be written to us. Imagine if the Bible had been written in a language that everybody in 2023 America would understand. How confusing would that have been to the people in 33 AD or 100 AD, right? It would have been very confusing. They would not have been able to figure it out. We, on the other hand, can look back, learn about the culture and society and the languages, and figure that out. Dr. Michael Bird says, we have to realize how different the Bible is from our time before we can allow it to speak to our own time. Okay. So it's good to ask. We need to pray. We need to ask. Questions. It's okay to ask questions. Who wrote this book? Who wrote this chapter? Who was this chapter written to? What's the goal of this one? The next thing we want to look at, third thing, is view. How we view the Bible or the particular book that we happen to be reading will greatly impact our understanding of it. Because the Bible is not just a book. The Bible is a library or a collection of books. We put the Bible in a book, in a binder, and that's great. It makes it very handy. But if we look at this not as a book, but a library of books, a collection of books, and there's two parts to this library. There's writings, 39 writings during the first covenant between God and man, and there's 27 writings for the second covenant between God and man. Both covenants, both testaments are ultimately about God's reconciliation with mankind. God saying, I want to have a relationship with my people. Isn't that great? Both testaments. That's the underlying theme of the whole thing. But it's important to know which section of the library that you're reading from to properly understand it. Also, just like picking up books from a library, you need to be aware of the genre of that book that you are reading. Now, this is something that for years and years I didn't realize this, and this opened my eyes to better understanding the Bible, is understanding what genre of book that I'm reading. See, literature has literary forms. For instance, you're not going to read the newspaper the same way that you would read tax laws. You're not going to read, for instance, you're not going to go to the library and pick up a book of tax business laws and read them like you would read the book Pink Floyd Lyrics. Right? Different genres are going to be read a little differently. That doesn't mean that any genre of the Bible is going to be false or unusable. The Bible, all the books of the Bible, not so much Pink Floyd lyric book, but all the books of the Bible are important and they are true and authoritative. But obviously, they shouldn't be read the same because the genre is different. Understanding genres helps us take the Bible seriously without taking the Bible literally. Now, some people have a problem with me saying literally. You don't read the Bible literally? How can you not read the Bible literally? Well, if I read the Bible literally, I would have this in mind. Jesus says, I am the vine, I am the door. Behold, the Lamb of God is what John the Baptist said. David said, under his wings you may seek refuge. And Isaiah said he was a precious cornerstone. So, is Jesus a plant, a door, a lamb, a stone, or a bird? The thing is, they're metaphors. Jesus are all those things metaphorically. And yet, on the flip side of this same coin, there are genres, regardless of how crazy they seem, should be taken very literal, right? So, and if this sounds confusing, well, what genre am I reading? Context and prayer will help you understand what genre you're reading. Logic, context, and prayer. And you'll know what genre you're reading. I have a list of genres I wanted to share with you. The Bible's written in several genres: law, history, poetry, narrative, wisdom, letters, and apocalyptic. Those are the genres of the Bible. Like I said, all true and authoritative, but you're going to read them a little bit differently. Amen? So far, so good? The next one, and this is a big one, context. Many professors that I've had will say this repeatedly. Context is king. Because that has been a very big hindrance for Christians to understanding the Bible. Too many scriptures have been taken, read, and taught out of context all throughout history. All throughout history. Even in Jesus' days, scripture was taken out of context. Philippians 3:2 in your King James Bible says, beware of dogs. That's a quote. I've just taught you how to memorize a verse. You now know one other verse that you can say, I have a verse memorized. Okay. Beware of dogs. You could take this scripture and start a new denomination, the First Cats of the Nazarene. And I don't know, we're laughing, but that probably is true. It may have happened already. Beware of dogs. If you'll turn to Matthew 4, we'll see someone else is pretty good at using the Bible incorrectly as well. This is when Jesus was being tempted. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, yeah, but on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, what we find here is Satan misquoted and misused the Bible. So he was trying to quote, or he was trying to twist, Psalms 91, 11, and 12. He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands. See, Satan knows the Bible too, and he knows just how to manipulate it ever so slightly to trip up a Christian that may not be that familiar with it. You know, he did the same thing in the Garden of Eden. The serpent went to Mary and said, did God really say that you can't eat of any tree of the garden? Well, that's not what God said. It's not what God told Mary. Don't get caught. Know the context of your scriptures. Now, earlier I read a scripture, hear and understand. It's what Jesus said to the Sadducees. Hear and understand. Now, let's use this scripture as an example and see if this changes your thought about that scripture any. We're going to read around it. We're going to get some context. This is a chapter that you can read about. It's the scribes or the Sadducees, the religious leaders, came to Jesus. They were griping. No, this was the scribes and Pharisees. Another story, sorry. They came to Jesus and they were griping because his disciples did not wash their hands ceremonially before they ate. And they said, you guys are breaking the tradition of the elders by not washing your hands. And Jesus said, well, he said this. Let's read it. Matthew 15:6. Jesus said, and by this you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines and precepts of men. After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, hear and understand. It's not what enters the mouth that defiles the man. In other words, it's not the food that you eat or how you eat the food, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man. See, what it seems like they were doing here is they were taking man's ideas and teaching them as scriptural doctrines. Probably took some scriptures, twisted them a little bit, and began to teach them like they were Bible, but they were not. And that is why Jesus says, hear and understand. And that's why we're saying today, we need to hear and understand. We're in danger sometimes of using scriptures out of context, and sometimes that can be dangerous. Remember the Crusades? For instance, Jeremiah 29:11. This is one of our favorite verses. We see this on Facebook all the time. Hallelujah. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Wonderful service, scripture. Now, let's look at the scripture before that to get a little bit of context. We're not even going to have to go that far. Jeremiah 29:10, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you. Wait. What? 70 years? I'm going to be an old guy by then. I guarantee that. The other factor is, this was something that was specifically for the exiles in Babylon from Jerusalem. Now, there are plenty of scriptures that says God loves you, God cares for you, God has a plan for you. It's just not this one. Right? Okay? But in the New Testament, a lot of that is for the New Testament Christians. That's us. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Bless God, that sounds like a good one too. Throw your head back and say, all these things shall be added to you. Oh, sorry about that. I stepped on someone's toes. I shouldn't have done that, Lord. I'm sorry. Well, at some point, we have to say, what all things? What's he talking about? Well, if you read the rest of the chapter, all these things that are added to you is food, drink, and clothes. Read it. What's the context? The surrounding sentences. What's the book about? And then we get to application. James 1:22, prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. If you hear it and you don't do it, you're deluding yourself. Bible says. It is vital to appropriately apply the Bible to your life. Now, I want to say appropriately here because I heard this one preacher get up and he just taught the story about when Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and they marched around the walls several times and the walls came tumbling down. It was a great sermon. But his point was, men, single young men out there, you find yourself a woman, you march yourself around that woman seven times until the walls of her heart come tumbling down. Happy Valentine's Day for that. That is not appropriately applying the Bible. Not everything may immediately be applicable, but everything will be true and helpful and authoritative. Good for teaching, correction, and reproof. Every time I hear someone say, well, this verse is talking about America, I hear a boing, which is the sound of a spring-loaded red flag going off in my head. This scripture is probably about all Christians all over the world. We must appropriately apply the Bible to our everyday lives. Even the tough parts, like love. Sometimes I just want to boil down the simpleness of step one, love. I told Jill, sometimes I just want to run over there to my first banner. If you're going to say something about somebody and it doesn't sound like love, zip it. I'm just saying, it's so biblical. It's like rule number one, Jesus, love. Well, what's rule two? Well, that's love too. How will they know that we're Christians? By your... It's all over the place. Please operate in love in all you do. Please. I do want you to turn to this scripture with me, and I'm about to end here. John 4:39. This is after Jesus visited the Samaritan, or he was at the well with the Samaritan lady. You know, Jews and Samaritans did not get along at all. Jews didn't even like to be in the shadow of a Samaritan. That it would make them feel dirty. If they had to walk through a Samaritan town, they would have to take a ceremonial type of bath to cleanse the Samaritan dirt off of them. True story. They didn't get along very well. And here Jesus is chatting it up with the Samaritan lady at the well. She goes back and tells people in the city, John 4:39, from that city many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all these things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. I want to read that last part again. Notice these words. It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. There comes a time when you will need a personal encounter with God to maintain your faith. Nothing that your pastor will say will get you through certain battles of life. Now, I can help and I can point and I can try to teach and correct. You can ask me and we can pray together. I'll do everything in the world for you. But at some point, you're going to have a personal encounter with God. You're going to have to read it for yourselves. You're going to have to hear him for yourselves. All right? It's kind of like if I called my gym that I have a membership to, and I said, listen, I've been a member there of that gym for 4 years, and I go 3 days a week. I even have a personal trainer, and I watch hundreds of videos every week about working out, and my muscles have not grown. As a matter of fact, I'm getting fat. And they say, well, how's your workouts going? I'm not working out. What do you think I pay you for? I'm not going to work out. It's a sweat. I can have all of this information and all of this experience, but until I go and experience for myself, I will not grow those muscles. I have to grab a hold of some bars or some machines and lift some weight to grow those muscles. At some point, you will have to have that personal encounter with the very Word of God in your life to maintain your faith. We have heard it for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. And here we are back at the very underlying theme of the entire Bible, God's reconciliation with mankind through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, our leadership here at church has these questions often. It says, well, where do I start, reading the Bible? What do I need to get, study books and things like this? Listen, I don't want ever the Bible to be difficult. As a matter of fact, I hope that what we've talked about today makes it easier. It's very freeing when you understand how to read the Bible, and I don't want there to be a pressure. I want you to enjoy it, and I want it to be simple for you. If you read something and you don't quite understand it, don't quit. Maybe it sounds crazy. Maybe you read about unicorns. Don't quit. Just come back to it later. Keep reading. All right? You might want to get a couple of Bible study books, like a Bible handbook, a concordance, Bible dictionary. There's apps on your phone. Like YouVersion, I have my notes on YouVersion even. The Blue Letter Bible. Jill uses Bible Hub, eSword. Get a good, well-used translation. Do it as a couple. Do it with your family. But you're going to have to get in and do this on your own. And remember, the whole book is about reconciling your relationship with God. So don't forget to pray before, during, and after. Pray, pray, pray. If you would, stand with me and bow your heads, please.